Parshas Hazinu is all written in poetic prose. None of it reads simply. And it's all like challenging to understand. In the second reading of Parshas Hazinu, Moshe Rabbeinu talks about the importance of learning the lessons of history. And then he goes back to the very beginning of our peoplehood. And he describes how HaKadosh Baruch Hu found the Jewish people faithful to their destiny when he sought us out and gave us the Torah in a desert. And he surrounded us with clouds of glory. He instructed us, he guarded us like the pupil of his eye. And then we go back even earlier. We go back to the actual leaving of Har Sinai, and we speak to the leaving of Mitzrayim, and we speak about Mount Sinai as well. Chapter 32, verse 11. Kinesher Yair Kinoi. As an eagle awakens his nest, as we'll soon see Rashi will explain, that means mercifully. Al Goizalov Yerachev. On his young, he hovers, and we'll soon see gently, not to startle them. Yifres Knofov. He spreads his wings. Yikocheu. And he takes us, or carries us. Yisoeo Alav Rosai. Carries us, so to speak, on his pinions in order to protect us. What in heaven does that mean? So let's take a look in Rashi. Rashi says, Kinesha Yor Kinoi, all of this is a metaphor. It's a metaphor describing how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how Almighty God, provided for the Jewish people. Nahogam Merachamim Ubechemla, Rashi says. He behaved towards us, or led us, with compassion and great mercy. Kinesher hazeh, like an eagle. The eagle is Rachmani al Bonov. The eagle, which is a majestic and princely bird. Many countries use the eagle as their national bird, or to this, you know, to represent them in some way. The United States amongst them, but there were some very nefarious countries and good kind of in-between countries. The eagle is a very, very common bird that's adopted by people for its imagery and prose. But specifically here we focus not on its strength or its aggression or its might, but we focus on its mercy for its own, for its young. So the Nesher is Rachmoni al Bonov. The Einoi Nichnas Lekinoi Pisoi. He doesn't arrive at the nest suddenly, not to startle the chicks, the young. Achu Mekashkesh Umetarif. First, the eagle makes sure to flap his wings and to make noise, and only after the eagle does whatever is necessary to, so to speak, awaken the young, so allegorically speaking, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us also. The eagle flaps his wings, b'chnofav, bin ilon le'ilon, he goes from tree to tree on the way to the nest, and he makes noise, bin sheicha le'chavrta, between one branch and the other, and all of this is done purposefully. Kidei sheye eiroi vonov, in order to awaken his young, the yehei bohem koyach lekabli, so they should be, so to speak, have the strength to be able to receive their mother, the mother bird. Otherwise, the mother bird would overwhelm them, and the eagle doesn't want to overwhelm its young, so it makes noise, it awakens them, it doesn't startle them, and this way they're able to properly, so to speak, suffer the arrival of the mother. And it's not an overwhelming experience. And Rashi says, no, that's how he transcribes and explains the words Kinesher Yorikinai, like an eagle awakens his nest. So the first thing is that he awakens his nest like an eagle, like an eagle. And he explained to us why. Now Rashi zeroes in on the words Yorikinai, awakens his nest. Does it mean awakens his actual nest? Rashi says, no. Ya'ir Banov. It means awakening the offspring, the young, who are found in the nest. The nest doesn't wake. The nest is inanimate. The point of his nest, the nest refers to the young that occupy the nest. Al goizel of Yerachev. So that's the first thing. The first thing is Hashem doesn't overwhelm us. That's step one. And allegorically speaking, this refers to Har Sinai, where God manifested himself coming from all four directions so as not to overwhelm the Israelites who were standing around the mountain being terrified. If Hashem would come from the mountain, so to speak, radiating outward, that would have been an overwhelming experience. Instead, Hashem enveloped the Jewish people in his presence. So without having a full frontal if you will, so to speak, a rival of divinity, God's presence, which would overwhelm them. Instead, Hashem immersed them, bathed them in His presence, coming from all sides. So this way, it was less intense. They were able to suffer it, if you will. Now, going on to the next part of the allegory, Al Goizolov Yirachev, he hovers above his young. So the first thing we talked about is awakening the nest, which actually refers to the young, but it's the nest, so to speak. The nest has the young that are nesting there together, and they're sleeping, or they're not ready, they're not prepared. So the eagle makes noise, he awakens them, so to speak. They should be able to suffer his arrival. Al Goizel of Yerachef means Einoi Machmid Atzme Aleim. The eagle, even though it's a very intense bird and a heavy bird, he doesn't put his full weight on the young. Ella mechoyfef. Instead, the eagle hovers. Negeya ve'ene negeya. At once, the eagle is touching, but he really is not touching. Which is, in English, also hovering. Afa Kadosh Baruch Hu, so it is also with Almighty God. He revealed himself to the Jewish people. He didn't reveal himself to the few Jewish people in his full might. As it says, and this is a pasuk that we see in Liev, that it says, Shakai shin dalad yud le'matzanuhu shagi koyach. We didn't find the God expressing his full might. And where what are we referring to here? So Rashi says, Kishabol litin teira. Once again, here we're referring to the giving of the Torah. Le'nigla le'yamiruach achas. God doesn't reveal himself from one direction. Elam arberuches, but manifested himself in four directions. Shenemer, as it says, Hashem is Sinai, but God came from Sinai, which is from the mountain. Vezorach me Seir, he radiated, or the presence of God radiated from Seir Lomai. Haifia Mahar Paranite, right from the Paranite mountains. Ve'asam Rivvis Kedesh, and he came with some of his royal entourage. Okay, bottom line, we hear that three different directions are being mentioned. The direction of Sinai, the direction of Seir, and the direction of Paran. In Habakkuk, the prophet describes the arrival of Hashem at Har Sinai, and he says, "Aleka mi teiman yove." God comes from Yemen, and this he says is ruach revius. There you go with a fourth direction. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Jewish people aware of what was happening. First, it was the lightning and the thunder woke the Jewish people up, not so as not to overwhelm them and startle them. And then, when he came at them from all directions, and therefore it was an all-encompassing experience, but not an overwhelming experience. So this is the idea of God awakening us, and then of God hovering above us. So now we have two metaphors that help us understand God's presence and interaction with us and the eagle, which brings us to the eagle's wings. The rest of the pasuk says, Yifreis k'nofov, he spreads his wings, yikocheyu, and he takes them. So Rashi says, let's go back to the eagle. Kishabo litlom mimokim lemokim. When the eagle comes to transport his young from place to place. Einai noitlom beraglov, he doesn't hold them in his claws, which is kishareifis, the way most other birds would do it. They would take the young, they would put their claws in, they would lift the bird up, and they would take him to the next place. The eagle doesn't do it that way. And this is, why do the eagles do it that way? Why do the other birds do it that way? Lefi shesha'ar eifes yireyim in ha'nesher. Because all the other birds are afraid of the eagle, the high-flying eagle. And they're afraid that the eagle, who's a predatory bird, is going to see their young on their back. And the eagle will swoop in and take the young. So therefore, they hold the young underneath them, protecting them with their body. Lefichach, therefore, Naisim Baraglov. That's why they carry them with the in their claws. And that's because the Nesher is Magbia, as Rashi says, Lo'if Upereach Me'aleim, because the eagle flies higher than them. And because the eagle is above, you ever hear the expression, an eagle eye view? Means to look down. A bird's eye view and an eagle eye view means to be able to look from the top. So the eagle's looking down at what's going on. Aval HaNesher, however, but the eagle himself, Eine Yorei Elamen Achetz, the only thing the eagle is worried about, there's no other bird it's concerned with. No bird will swoop down on the eagle because the eagle is the highest flyer. So what's he worried about?
Arrow.
He's worried about the arrow. He's worried about the hunter. The danger comes not from on high, the danger comes from below. He only worries about the arrows aimed from below. Lefichach, therefore, Nisan al Knafav. He carries his young on his wings. Va'aymer, and he says, Mutav shikones hachetz bi. Let the arrow pierce me, but let my young be saved. Le'yikones v'bonei, let it not pierce my children. Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to God, it says, Ve'esa eschem al kanfei nesharim. When Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, the Torah describes Hashem carrying the Jewish people as having carried us on eagle's wings. That's the description that's used. And it's not really so explanatory previously. So Rashi explains, Kishenosu Mitzrayim achareihem, that this refers specifically not when they initially left the land of Egypt, but after the first few days of leaving the land of Egypt, they end up at the Reed Sea. And there at the Reed Sea, they're between a rock and a hard spot because there's a raging sea in the front, there's mountainous areas on the sides, and the armies of Egypt are bearing down from behind. So then it says, when that happened, Kishenosu Mitzrayim Acharei, when the Egyptians arrived in hot pursuit, Vihisigum al Hayom, they arrived, they reached them at the sea. So Vahoyu Zerkim Bahem Chitzin, they were throwing all kinds of projectiles, arrows, Avne Blisterois, and stones, which is like the equivalent of once upon a time bombs, only they didn't explode. And they're throwing these ballast stones and throwing these spears and throwing these indiscriminately shooting arrows to harm the people. And you have people don't know how to protect themselves. And all of a sudden they have this barrage of dangerous projectiles that are coming at them. So what does it say? Miyad, immediately, Vayisa Malach Alekim, the angel of God moved. Vayovei, he was at one time the angel of God, was a manifestation of God's presence, leading the nation. They were following this cloud of glory. All of a sudden, when the Egyptians arrived and started to throw these projectiles, the angel goes from the front and he moves now to the back. Vayovei Be'machane Mitzrayim, that manifestation of God's presence, that angel filled the space, created a barrier, a protective wall between the camp of the Israelites and between the Egyptian camp, the Goyimer. So what was happening? The Egyptians continued to throw their projectiles. Where did projectiles end up? In the Malach. Mm-hmm. And the Jewish people were protected. So this is the metaphor of eagle's wings. Not really leaving Mitzrayim, but we were protected. Like the eagle who says, Mutav yikones biachetz, let the arrow pierce me, but let not the arrow pierce my young. And the Malach himself accepts or receives all this ballast and these projectiles, but the Jewish people, the children of Israel, are saved and are not harmed. And that's the meaning of spreading his wings to pick up his young and carrying them on his pinions. So what's wrong with this metaphor? There's something seriously wrong with this metaphor. What's wrong with it? Sounds very nice. The eagle's carrying his young. He's not worried about anybody from on high. He's worried about the arrows from below. So he's ready to shield his young with his own body. The ultimate sacrificial Yiddish Mama. That's what this eagle is. Mamash the Yiddish Mama. Let me suffer. I'll get hurt. My baby will be protected. The perfect example of the Yiddish Mama. But what's wrong with this metaphor when we speak about God? There's something profoundly off with this metaphor. But like, what's the point of the metaphor? What are we saying? It's so glorious. It's so extraordinary. It's so wonderful. Hashem loves us. He didn't come and startle us. He didn't overwhelm us. He made noise before, so to speak, so we wouldn't be freaked out. He made sure that we could come to. We would be able to suffer His presence. He didn't come to us in a full frontal sort of arrival, but instead immersed us in His presence, and then He carried us. And here, at the point of carrying us, we're saying He's protecting us. So he says, Mutav yikones biachetz. The eagle says, let me be pierced. Let me be harmed. Let my young be safe. What's wrong with this metaphor?
There's an expectation.
The weird God.
It's God. God is saying, what's expectation? God's saying that's what He does.
We're not God's biological children.
We're more God's children than our biological children.
More.
Okay. What's the virtue of the eagle? flying high. And what is the eagle ready to do?
Die for his child.
He's ready to die for his child. How does that work in the metaphor? The eagle is ready to be harmed for his child. He said, the eagle is an amazing bird. It's ready to be harmed for his child. It shields his child with his body. And the metaphor, who's the eagle?
Hashem.
So Hashem's going to get hurt?
No, that's why.
That doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. There's something wrong with this metaphor. The eagle's virtue is that the eagle is prepared to suffer on behalf of his young. How does God suffer? God can't get pierced, can't get harmed, can't get hurt. It makes no sense. This is a major flaw in the metaphor. That's the metaphor of our sages. And this is Rashi says, this is the simplest pshuta shel mikra, the simplest way. You want to understand it on the simplest level? That's what it means. Mutav yikonis biyachetz. So, lucky for us, the Rebbe shared with us an explanation. Doesn't say when the children hurt, I heard. It says yikonis biachetz. Let me be pierced. Let me be harmed. Page Reish Beis. The Simon Yud Beis in Parsha Zino in our Biurim book. The Rebbe says, Ha'ashva me'malach alekim, the seeming comparison between the angel of God, Linesher, and the eagle, hu l'chayra matmiya. Ostensibly, it's an astonishing thing. It seems totally out of sorts. When the eagle carries his young on his wings, the eagle risks his life. And why does he risk his life? Leman sets off for his young. Let me be pierced. Let the arrow enter me. But it will not pierce my young, my offspring. This indicates, shows us how much the mother eagle loves its young. The beautiful metaphor for a Yiddish mama, love the young to the point, I'll be harmed, my child will be safe. But the problem is, what did the angel of God lose? He got killed, the angel of God?
Yeah,
he got harmed, he bled? So what if the angel of God serves as a protective wall to absorb the projectiles, the ballast stones? Is the angel of God going to get harmed from an arrow or from a spear? Can a sword in any way harm the angel of God? No, of course not. So what kind of metaphor is this? What's the point? So the Rebbe has a very interesting way of explaining this. The Eshleima, the Rebbe says, perhaps the answer, that the answer to this is found already in the words of Rashi. And we know, of course, if Rashi explains it in one place, he will not explain it somewhere else. And Rashi expects you to make the calculations, add things up, come to the conclusion. Rashi already gave us the ability to understand this in a previous pasuk on this very narrative in Parshas Beshalach. That when it speaks about Vayasa Malach Hashem, that the angel of God came between the Mitzrayim, the camp of Israel, the camp of the Egyptians, it says Bechol Mokeim Hu Emer Malach Havaya. Every place it says the Malach of Havaya, the Malach of Yudke Vavke. But Kan over here it says Malach Elikim. Malach Elikim. It doesn't say Malach Havaya. It says Malach Elikim. Why is there a change in language? So. Rashi knows, he's already told us multiple times, that Elikim represents divine judgment. Reish Beis. Divine judgment. Ein Elikim b'chol mokim eladin. There's judgment going on here. Now what does that teach us? Rashi tells us, back in Parshas Beshalach, do you know what was happening now? Well, at this moment, Malamed Shehoyu Yisrael Nisunin b'din. The Jewish people were being judged. God said, Im lihi natzel. We were not so hatsi-tatsi. We had much left to be desired. Do you know that there was a member of our own nation who was carrying an idol as they approached the Reed Sea? And do you know when the Reed Sea split open, he brought his idol and he was singing songs of praise to his idol as he walked through the Reed Sea, which was not only a miraculous act of salvation, but also extraordinary revelation. He saw the presence of God, and this idiot was worshiping his idol. Okay, so he was a grotesque and extreme example. This is the same nation that a little while later is going to build a golden calf. Okay? There was a predisposition, a proclivity to doing all kinds of foolish things like this, to turning our back on God. To said, Hayesh Havaya Bekirbeinu Emoyin, is God amongst us, or did he forget us while he's busy carrying us? So we were being judged. And what do you think we did in the land of Egypt? We had faith in Hashem? Not really, not so much. As they say in French, Vachamaisus. The woman had faith, it says. B'schus Amunah, the woman had faith. The man didn't have so much faith. So there was a judgment going on. Im lehi natzel, im lehi avid. Will they be saved? Will they be lost with Mitzrayim? All right. So now, let's think about this. The malach who saves the Jewish people is what kind of malach? A malach of din, a malach of judgment. Now remember, malachim are singular focused creatures. The malach does not have a range. To use a simple example, it has no fuzzy logic. The malach is like a computer. The Pentium 17 is very quick. It can think much faster than you, but only if you program it that way. The malach only works one way. That's all he knows how to do. He doesn't have the ability to acclimatize, synergize, balance, harmonize. This is black and white. So the malach is din, that's all he knows how to do. He judge you and judge you and judge you and judge you until there's nothing left of you. That's all he knows how to do. And the malach was a malach of chesed, who give you and give you and give you until you finish being given. It's like the story with Yassel de Goylem, that the Maharal of Prague said when he created his Goylem. He said, do not use him for anything. Nobody's allowed to use him for any menial tasks. But it's very tempting. You have this mighty, powerful guy. He's doing nothing all day. And the Maharal used to take a bath, take a matzah Shabbos, a hot bath. And it was freezing outside. So the Rebbe said to Yassel de Goylem, go get water. Why should a person have to go and break the ice? Here you have this monster, this powerful creature. Go get ice. Go break the ice and bring the water. What happened? Yassel de Goylem broke the ice and he brought water and he filled the bath and he kept bringing water and he kept bringing water and he kept bringing water. He flooded the whole house because nobody could stop him. All right? Until the Maharal finally figured out a way to stop him. That's the problem. It's like there was no fuzzy logic. There's no intelligence there. Yassel de Goylem was a Goylem. The Goylem knows only how to do exactly what he's programmed. He told him to bring water, he brings water. He didn't tell him to stop bringing water. He doesn't know how to stop. Once the command is given, all he knows how to do is give the command. So the Malach knows, din, 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 din. So he knows how to do. He judges. He judges and he analyzes and then he analyzes more and then he goes into greater analysis. He keeps looking at the details and dividing details and looking deeper and deeper and deeper. It's all the Malach knows how to do. What happened? The same Malach Alekim. This Malach had to do something which is totally unnatural for it. He became, instead of a Malach of din, what did he become? A malach of saving. A malach, he ended up, he's supposed to be judging instead, now he's a malach of saving the Jewish people. Ha! So here we have a malach elikim who is makriv, who literally sacrifices his nature. This is antithetical to him. This is like nails on a blackboard. Okay, he's like chewing nails. He's the hardest thing. He's doing the exact opposite of his being. He's sacrificing himself. It's harmful. It's painful. So here we have the situation. He takes his nature, which is programmed for that, to be precise, demanding, and exacting. And now he became a malach of kindness, a malach of salvation, a malach of self-sacrificial, if you will, protection.
How could that happen?
It's an excellent question. How could it happen? That's the eagle metaphor. That's the eagle metaphor. Toichashifas atzmei. L'kitrugim, at the same time, the malach exposes himself to the forces which he should get along with. The malach, the forces of projectiles, the malach's like, bring it on, more projectiles. Let's pierce him. You know, that's what the malach does. And instead, he's the one who's repelling these projectiles. And all of this is bavad lahagin abnei Yisrael. That's the metaphor of the eagle who says, let the arrow enter me instead. Obviously, God can't be harmed. Obviously, a malach can't be hurt. But we see the malach is, so to speak, sacrificing something. What's the sacrificing? The malach is sacrificing his very nature. In this way, this is the meaning of the metaphor of God carrying us on eagle's wings.
It's actually a very interesting question. If the malach is programmed in a direction and has not much judgment, has not much... How does it switch from being judgment to saving?
like a mother.
I don't know exactly how a malach does that, but the point is that God enables, right, the malach to go against itself, which incidentally has a lot to do with this time of the year and days of judgment, where we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to sweeten the judgment and turn everything on its head. So remember, we're on eagle's wings. In the metaphor, our father is the judge. It's not a regular judge. And therefore, even though judgment's coming our way, Meretz Hashem, the judgment will be sweetened, and it will be a Shana Teva Umesuka.